Boom, 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 boom. Hey, yeah. So today I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Jay Duffy. He's come all the way over from London. Well, not to see me, but he's here home from London. So I was like, right, let's get an interview. So I'm really excited to sit down with Jay today and talk everything acting and how he's getting on. We've been really good friends for, since we were very, very, very young. So it's really, really cool for me to be able to, have him on because I'm hoping to expand more, and as I can have more people, like Jay, who are kind of more publicly known, which is kind of, I really like talking to people and talking to people who have, really cool stories and backgrounds. Like, that's like, not that I don't love talking to my friends and they're all cool dudes, but going forward, I really want to try and get some cool people on here. So hopefully we can. But other than that, during the week I uploaded a solo podcast, which I was kind of nervous about, but my response back has been like, I think it's been quite good, so I'm actually really happy with it. Other than that, there's not really much else going on. Bought a new watch yesterday, and when I say that, like, usually when people say, "Oh, you bought a new watch," it's like, "Yeah, got me a new Rolex, Casio, can't beat a Casio," like 25 quid, because I'm so stupid and I left my other watch on the bus in Sweden. Don't even ask. But enough of me talking shite. Welcome to the Inside Trail. Hope you enjoy. Oh, you're gonna just
Howdy.
slight delay.
How do you drink this stuff?
How do I drink? What do you mean? Like, it's zero
can I
cal.
taste
Yeah,
it?
obviously, zero sugar. It's the people's drink.
Yeah, not bad.
Tell me, for a man who was on the beer last night, that isn't
it's
a lovely taste on the lips. Like,
well, a bit of sugar is good.
yeah. Well, there's no sugar in it, so
Oh, really?
there's no sugar.
Sugar free, zero calories.
Yeah.
So what is it you're putting into your body then?
To be honest, we'll probably find out in like 50 years, and
Yeah,
that'll be
yeah.
why I die, because I drink these every fucking day. But yeah, welcome to the Inside Trail, Jay.
Thank
It's
you, Dan.
fantastic to have you.
I'm very, very excited to be here.
So for people who don't know Jay, Jay is my OG brother. We've been best mates since we were 7, 8 years old. We've been knocking around
We have.
our local. Jay is in the acting world. I recently saw Jay in Derry Girls. We were just discussing that his whole acting career beforehand and the kind of different stuff that you've done and you've been involved in. So this is your most recent project to come to fruition. Is that a word?
Yeah,
See, I like to kind of use big words sometimes just
that's
to make
fine.
it. So,
I like to say big words like photosynthesis.
Well, we'll get photosynthesis in there. We'll use
Yeah,
photosynthesis later on. But so, in Derry Girls, so
man.
you're what? So tell me about your character in Derry Girls.
Yeah, so I play this young man called Harry McGee
Harry McGee.
is his name, and yeah, he's just the episode basically is for, have you seen the first season? Yeah, the girls go on this pursuits weekend with a bunch of Protestant
Prods.
boys. It's
Yeah.
like their local all boys Protestant
Yeah.
school, and yeah, they kind of bring them together in this program called Friends Across the Barricade,
Yeah.
so to try and bring the Catholics and Protestants together and try to, find out the similarities that they have and hopefully establish some sort of common ground
Yeah.
and realize that, we're not enemies here.
Yeah.
We're all friends.
It's ironic that your character's name is McGee and he's not getting any of that until he's married.
Yeah.
Watch Derry Girls and you'll see, but
Spoiler alert.
he's celibate, is that the word?
He's wearing a purity bracelet,
Yeah,
yeah.
so
So
he's
he's
like,
restraining from,
none of that shit till marriage. Like, I couldn't do that myself
Yeah.
now. Like, imagine that being your.
You could never play a character like that, Dan.
Oh, definitely not.
Too
Like,
much experience there
yeah, all
to
right. Like, chill out. Yeah, you're knocking me off here. Like, you're doing that to me. No, so like, do you find when you're going in and when you're put into these roles that it's hard to turn yourself into someone that you're completely not? And here, don't make me look like the. But you don't have a clean slate either. Like, so.
Really had dig deep.
Yeah.
You're making me out to be this absolute player.
Yeah.
No, man, it was... I just approached it, like, the audition came through, and I was aware of the show and how successful it was, and I hadn't actually watched it, so the audition came through, and I thought the first thing I should do to prepare is probably watch the first season. So I watched it all in one night, because they're only, like, 25-minute episodes, so you can get through them pretty quickly, and there's only six of them, so, yeah, I watched the first season, and I loved it, and thought it was so clever, the writing was so funny, and... just really, even past, you know, being Irish and, you know, Irish humour. I think there's the themes within it that Lisa, the writer, is exploring, and her, the characters she wrote. It's just really clever and funny and heartwarming. And I think that's why it was so successful over in the UK as well. Because it's just really funny. And it's kind of like an Irish in-betweeners, I found.
Yeah.
You know, and... and yeah, I couldn't believe for you know, a very Irish show doing so well in the UK. It was great.
That's what I was thinking myself, is that it is quite Irish comedy.
It is, man.
Like, and a lot of what they, the way they talk and things, I would kind of myself have thought that people outside of Ireland won't necessarily understand
it. But even you could say the same for, you know, Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Yeah,
and fair. Like, that's a massive show in the UK as well. I mean, more popular there than it ever was here, I think. So yeah, I think obviously there's a demand over there for it. Maybe they do understand more than we think they do. But yeah, so I watched the first season, and then I prepared the audition, as I do with most of them. I don't try and get excited about projects that I'm going up for, because you just set yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, you just try and do your best attempt, your best job, and then put it in the back of your head and forget about it, you know?
I'm sure that's one of the big hard parts for you, is you obviously audition for, like, a lot of things. And, you know, the percentage of getting them, I'm sure, is nowhere near
Oh, man, I could tell you some horror stories. Yeah, it's hard, man. Rejection is a massive part of the career I'm in, and that's why it's not for some people, because... you can take it to heart quite easily, and you can take it quite personal, but you can't let it get on top of you like that. You have to try and be confident in yourself, and just always try and do a good job, and when it doesn't happen, just move on and keep in the back of your head that, you know, the next one will be the one I get. But yeah, it's tough. It definitely is tough, and you feel it sometimes, because you can't help but get excited about the prospect of, you know, doing these types of shows. But yeah, this was one of the rare times when I was excited about something, and it happened, so it was great.
So, in Derry Girls, you were playing that kind of role as, you know, something completely different to what you've done before. Like, off the top of my head, I can remember you doing, you know, the Vikings. Hollyoaks was where it all began.
Started from,
I remember when we were younger and we'd be going out, you know, we'd always go and have our cinema and Nando dates. And, we'd be walking around pavilions and, like,
these... full chicken days.
Used to mill a full chicken, two sides, just fingers. Not a bother, man. Just, you know what I mean? But we used to be walking around pavilions, and these, like, you know, we were about, 14, 15, 16, something like that. And, you know, you'd have these girls all coming up, and fucking really demoralising for me, always having been the one just taking photos of Jay with people. And I'm just standing here, you know, fixing my hair.
Get ready for your photo,
I always wanted someone to ask me to get in the photo, but...
I think you managed to sneak in.
Yeah, I think I did get in a few, but...
keep pressing the selfie button repeatedly.
That was definitely a trick that had to be done to all these. But, like, so you were obviously... how old were you when you started in Hollyoaks?
I was cast in Hollyoaks when I was 15.
So, and that was your first,
I'd done bits and
theatre
bits,
but it was
my
before.
First kind of professional job. Professional gig-wise, and like first kind of TV role in Hollyoaks,
And I suppose before that, you would have kind of already been known publicly because of your dad.
To some extent, yeah.
To some extent, or you would have kind of been seen with your dad in public. So just for context, Jay's dad is Keith Duffy of Boyzone. Hey, Keith.
If you're watching.
Keith, I really hope you're watching. So was that always something that, obviously, because your dad did Boyzone and he did acting, was that always something that you were kind of like, oh,
I'll go that way. Like, was that, what, do you think that played a big...
No, that was never, it was never a conscious decision to follow into the same world as he was. That was never on my agenda by any means. Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, his whole career, his whole fame was because of Boyzone.
Yeah.
It was a boy band, and it was, yeah, it was crazy back in the day. They were extremely successful, and it was crazy. And, like, I think my dad had me when he was 20, I think. So, like, he was very young, and that was at, like, the height of Boyzone. So, yeah, it was a crazy time. It's actually a very scary thought to think, you know, I'm, like, 3 years older now than he was when he had his first kid.
Please don't go and have a kid.
No, I mean, no, like, I'm trying my best.
I can't take that heartbreak on, never mind. But, yeah, so, with your dad being in that, and then you, like, I remember we used to go to, do you remember we went to that thing, the box?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember they used to go in at the box and we were...
Your dad always go to various shows.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember your dad was off presenting. Remember me and you sitting in the back eating McDonald's. Remember there was a break and we were sitting on set eating
That was some crazy, crazy stuff. And it was crazy. Like, and people always ask, you know, what's it like fucking having a father in that world and, you know, in the public eye and stuff. And it's like, yeah, there are moments where it's really strange and it's... bizarre, but like it's the only thing I know.
Yeah,
you know, to me, it's world. It's what I was born into, so I don't know any different. And for the most part, it's just like any other, you know, family unit.
Yeah, it's just your
your dad does that for a living, and my dad does this for a living, and it's just that's the way it is. But yeah, there's definitely moments where, it's like you have this out of body experience, like you're. Standing side stage, you're seeing your dad perform to thousands of screaming women.
Yeah,
and it's weird, man. It is weird.
I really don't think my dad should ever do that.
If you're watching, I don't think
John, please don't ever do that. Because the women will not scream; it'll be boo. Sorry, Dad.
It is weird, man. Definitely. And I've been very lucky to go off and see some really cool places in the world and to meet really cool people that I admire and I'm a fan of. So yeah, that's really cool. But for the most part, it's just that's the way it's always been. So I don't know any difference really.
Yeah. And you've recently flown the nest.
Yeah.
So you've moved to London.
Living in London.
So
now,
explain to me what brought on this move to London.
I think it's always been coming, you know, like the industry I'm in, like the acting industry, it's the centre of it all is London or LA. That's where it's always been. It's getting a lot better here. It's the Irish film industry is booming at the moment. You know, they've got new studios in Limerick, Ardmore Studios in Wicklow where they shoot Vikings. So it is, there's a lot of like big American productions coming here, which is great. But like in terms of, you know, to be in the centre of the industry, you need to be in the likes of London or LA. And I do love LA. I did like 6 weeks out there last year for pilot season.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I loved it. It's a really special place. But at the moment with, you know, Trump sitting in the comfortable office,
they're not gonna let the little Irish
very hard to get your paperwork in order. So I was thinking about going back this year, but it just didn't make sense yet. I don't wanna jump the gun on anything, you know. I'm very much just trying to do what feels right in the moment. And for me, it was London this time.
Like, as you were saying to me, you've been jumping back
for a while. I mean, like, if you know, you go up for various auditions and sometimes you get to the next stage and it requires meeting the casting director in person or the director or producers, and that requires you to go and meet them in London most of the time. So I'd be like making trips back and forth. So it kind of just made sense to base myself there for a while.
Absolutely.
And just a change of scenery as well. You know, Dublin, as much as I love it, it's very small, you know, and it's the same thing every week. So it's just a nice change of scenery.
Yeah.
And it just felt like the right time.
Are you missing your mum's cooking yet?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the PlayStation.
PlayStation is a big one. Yeah. And doing your own washing is...
Oh, I'd say that's a big one.
It's a tough one. That is a big one. Yeah. Yeah.
How often do you do a laundry?
A modest twice a week. Yeah, I just bulked up on, you know, underwear and the essentials.
Yeah, standard.
So, yeah, I try to keep it to a minimum.
Yeah,
I haven't cracked out the ironing board yet.
Yeah, oh, that's a big
thing. That's a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
But no, it's good, man. I'm enjoying it. Yeah. It's
fun new to independence. Just... Absolutely. Living abroad, like... I've had tasters of, you know, living in Canada and living in India, but
yeah,
that, like, they've kind of been for, you know, a holiday or for a reason, whereas you're over there working, do you know what I mean? So you're living, which is, it's mad.
It's weird. It's tough because, you know, I'm obviously leaving all you boys here, mm-hmm. family and friends, and obviously my girlfriend, so it is tricky, you know, you get a little bit homesick.
Yeah.
But it's, an hour flight, so like
that's another reason I'm why home, London, I'm home very LA, often. Like, yeah.
So, yeah, LA was a nightmare, man.
Yeah.
Even the distance is one thing, but it's the time difference as well. You know, I wake up.
What's it, 8? 10?
It's 8 hours, I think. Yeah, it's 8 hours. I think New York is 5. So
I haven't a fucking clue.
Yeah, LA is 8.
I think it's 8 because I think LA would be the same as Vancouver, which I think is 8.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, like I'd wake up in the mornings and everyone here is getting ready to go to bed.
Mm.
So you're on two completely different wavelengths, yeah. You know, so it's horrible. So you kind of really have to make yourself busy and fill out your day because otherwise you'll just be driving yourself mad.
Sure. And then I'm sure when you compare, you know, a city like LA and that has, you know, a film industry as big as it is.
Yeah.
And then when you compare it to Ireland, you can kind of see why you wouldn't stay here if you're going to chase that.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Like... it's one of those things that you kind of need to weigh up. Like, obviously, moving away from your family and friends is hard, but when you have, you know, not a deeper purpose, but, like, something that you want to do, it's important to weigh up, okay? Like, okay, I might need to go abroad for a bit, which is...
But, I mean, LA is a nice excuse, though, because of the weather as well. You know, it's like, you wake up and you can go to the beach and, you know, catch some gnarly waves.
I'm hoping this... August, I might, well, fingers crossed it'll come to fruition. There it is again.
Yeah.
It's never that way. Yeah, it's going to come up again, I'm telling you.
That's fine.
Like, I think we'll do starting San Fran and go the whole way down, finish it in LA.
Nice.
So, because like, I've never seen LA, like, I've seen photos and, you know, TV shows and where they do it, but like...
It's crazy, man. It's a crazy, it's so big and there's so many people there.
Any recommendations of what I need to do when I'm in LA?
When you're in LA,
bear in mind there's going to be about 10 lads, so nothing too cultured.
Yeah. Oh man, I didn't do that much, to be honest, like touristy stuff. The Griffith Observatory is amazing.
Is that like stars and?
You know, La La Land.
Yeah.
They shot a sequence in there. It's like it's up in the hills, and the views are incredible over the city. You can see like the whole of LA. And obviously the Hollywood sign is really cool, and that was really special being there.
Yeah.
Because it's just this iconic thing you've seen your whole life if you're a fan of film.
Mm.
And to actually be there and to see the original sign is really, really cool.
Mm.
But yeah, like Malibu is really sick and Venice Beach is great. It's just lovely vibes, man. Okay. It's really nice.
That's cool. The surfing is definitely something that I want to get into. Like I tried a small bit in Canada this summer and it was cool. But
it's great. I'm really bad because I think my height goes against me. I've got really bad balance.
Yeah. So see, this is when being the short guy.
Yeah, it comes in handy. Yeah.
For years, being you're so short. Well, you know, fuck you. I'll be able to surf better. It's actually funny when we were growing up. We were obviously young lads. We were really mean to each other. But my name for years was Stutz, because I have a little bit of a stammer when I get nervous. But we used to do my nickname for him was so much nicer. It was Fifi, Fifi the fucking flower pot.
Fifi and the flower pot.
Know what I mean? Like, what a nice guy, and I get Stutz, you know what I mean? Like,
we're awfully cruel to you,
we both know I did a lot back.
Look where you are now, using words like fruition
and photosynthesis.
And photosynthesis, and not a stutter inside.
No. That's actually something that I was quite nervous about for something like this.
Yeah.
That I would, start stuttering. Hmm. But like sometimes when I feel one coming on, I'll just change the word that I've intended to say.
Yeah.
Which is just the way that you learn to deal with it. But on, when you're kind of trying to manage your dialect, it's hard. Like what we were talking about before, like with your, when you have to do an accent for different things, you obviously have to do the same where you're like paying such attention to how you're speaking.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, for in Derry Girls, you obviously don't have your current accent. It's a Northern Irish accent.
Mm.
So, which it's actually not a bad, it's not a bad accent. As I was saying to you, I was quite shocked when I heard you speak, because I was like,
yeah,
that's not Jay's accent. Mm. Yeah. And then, so like, obviously that's one accent that you were able to do, but like across the board, are you in your,
with lots of difficulty, I'll have you know.
Yeah. Fair. But is there a lot of like, what accents in particular have you been asked to do and you're like, fuck, how do I?
Well, that's funny, but like, voice is such a massive part of character in film. Like, it can really, you know, define a character. It's something that, you know, was very specific to a character. So it's one of the first things I, you know, look at in terms of, you know, researching for an audition or a character. And you want to get to a stage where you don't have to think very, you know, hardly on the way you're speaking. You want it to be very natural,
yeah,
almost on a subconscious level. Because if I'm doing a scene, you know, pretending to be someone else, I don't want to have in the back of my head worried about how I'm sounding.
Yeah.
Because that's immediately taking you out of what you're meant to be
doing.
Yeah,
in your zone.
Like, yeah, like, yeah. It's like, if I'm worried about how I'm sounding, like, how can I possibly pretend to be someone else?
Yeah.
They've been speaking that way their whole lives, so it has to be very fluid and natural. But yeah, Derry, the Northern Irish accent, it is tricky, because like, there's you know, there's certain differences between like Derry and Belfast, let's say.
Yeah.
And I was always doing like a real Belfast sounding accent.
Trying to think
when I ever did Northern Irish accents.
If I were to try a Northern accent, what would it, what, if I did a Northern accent, would you be able to like know what part? I'll
tell you if it sounds,
you be able to tell me if it sounds like, no, it's from
there. Yeah, it could be from Northern Ireland.
Eh? Eh?
Nye? Listen here, Nye.
See this fucking monster, hey? I fucking drink that, hey? And where? Get me on fucking Derry Girls, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe a stunt double or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Well, I'll have to wear heels or something.
Maybe it was actually very handy, because Saoirse and Jamie Lee from Derry Girls, they're both from Derry. So to be being on set with them was great, because they would just, you know, if I was struggling with a certain word, they just, you know, say it like this.
Yeah.
And that was great. They could, you know, keep us going in the right direction. Yeah. So that was really handy, but yeah, I mean, that's when the work comes in and downtime, you know, when you're not working. Mm. That's when you should be practicing your accents for various stuff. Yeah. So Northern Irish is a big one. American is probably the biggest one. And then
were there specific words in specific accents that you just couldn't?
All the time. Like I've been doing a lot of work for a long time now, trying to just get it right, especially when I went to LA the first time, because like, if you want to be taken seriously over there to play, you know, an American, you want to make sure you can, you know, sound American. There's no point in going over there with a half-arsed attempt at an American accent. Fair. Because they will not give you the time of day. Mm. Like, they're very, you know, cutthroat over there. But yeah, like, there's always something that is a bit of a tongue twister. Like, I did an audition like 3 days ago for some American character in some show, and there was a line in the script that he says, and it's the line was, "I just met a really cool girl," and it was very tricky to say for some reason in the accent.
Yeah.
It's like, I just met a really cool girl, but I was saying it like slow, like,
yeah,
that, because
yeah,
the L's and the O's were kind of like, they go down a bit lower than we do.
Yeah.
So it was like cool,
cool,
cool, cool girl. So cool, it was like girl, a double whammy.
Yeah.
So even that, like, it took me about 4 or 5 attempts to get that right. So it's always tricky to get it perfect, but that's what you have to aim towards. Like, you don't want them to have any idea that you're not American.
That's not your natural accent.
Exactly. Yeah.
I suppose that's when it comes into the, it's how well you can portray that person, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't have that accent down to a T, people start poking holes.
Exactly.
It's like, well, he's actually Irish.
Yeah,
he's not.
I mean, there's nothing cooler than, you know, watching a movie and you come across an actor who you haven't really seen or heard of before, and you love their performance, and then you check them out afterwards and you realise that they're actually like English, but they're American in the movie. It's like, wow, that was a really good accent.
Like Tom Hardy, for example.
Yeah, Tom Hardy's great.
Like, in particular, the first time I heard his accent, I was shocked that he was actually English.
Yeah.
I was like, What?
Mm.
Sorry, just if you can hear that, my dog is going 90 in the background. So if you can hear that, then that's what that is. There's no intruder. It's probably just someone standing in the front garden. But if you can hear that, I'm sorry. But yeah, accents.
Accents.
So when you're... Is method acting... So, sorry. When you have to change your accent to kind of get into this role and make it as authentic as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard things about method acting where, like, off screen, people just go full like blinders on.
Like Day-Lewis type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Or like Heath Ledger, was that? Am I right? Heath Ledger was like that in Batman?
No, he wasn't. It's a misconception about Heath Ledger, actually. I studied acting for a year in a place called Bow Street in Dublin, which is a film acting school. And the main teacher there we have is a guy called Jerry Grinnell, who's an acting coach.
Mm.
And he's worked with like everyone, like he's incredible, like Meryl Streep, Christian Bale, and Heath Ledger on Dark Knight. And he'd tell us lots of different stories about Heath on set. And we were all, you know, love to hear that stuff, because we all love that performance. Like it's an incredible performance in film. And I'm a massive Heath Ledger fan. But yeah, everyone thought that he was, you know, the Joker the whole time.
Yeah.
And that wasn't true. He was, between action and cut, he was the Joker, of course. But once cut was called, he was back to being Heath, and it was all fine. He did a lot of research and he did a lot of preparation. But he was never like, method acting.
Yeah.
That gets thrown around a lot, method acting. It has different, people have different definitions for it. Like for some people it's, they stay in character the whole time. For other people it'll be like they go to a certain place emotionally to get a certain emotion across on screen. They like use stuff from their own past, like Brando would like use stuff from his past to kind of get him emotional for various scenes. I wouldn't call myself a method actor by any means.
Could you see a potential role out there someday that you would need to?
I don't know, and I'd never say never, but I think it would be so draining to do that. You know, I'm a fond believer of, you know, between action and cut, that's the most important when the cameras are rolling. And you want to be, you know, at your best kind of physical and emotional place to deliver the goods. And for me, that's doing what I need to do to get to a very relaxed state for when that moment arises. So for me, if I'm in character the whole time,
you're not that, then wouldn't, in that,
that wouldn't serve
state.
Me. Yeah. That would really drain me.
I get that.
But that's just me. Yeah. I'm sure for other people, that's for them, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
They just stay in character and that's fine. I've worked with actors who do that. I mean, I definitely stay in accent, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm staying in character.
Yeah,
like I will talk to you as I would always talk to you, but I'll be talking to you with an accent.
Yeah,
that's the only difference. But no, staying in a character state of mind for me is not something that I do anyway at this moment in time.
So, as I said, you've done Hollyoaks, The Vikings, Derry Girls, stuff like all very different genres. Is there a particular genre that you prefer to act in, or you would like to pursue further, or are you kind of just like whatever?
Not so much genre. I mean, I'm open to any genre. For me, it's just you know, character wise, what type of character it is. That's what I'm drawn towards. If I read a script and I read a character who really kind of, like, not to sound cliche, but like speaks to me, I can imagine myself doing a good job, then that's what I would want to do. Like that's the opportunity I'd love to get given, to play a role that you would love to play and that you want to explore. That for me is what I chase, you know, just good writing, which is, you know, very hard to come by. And to be given the chance, the opportunity to, you know, to get to play a character that's well written is, you know, a fucking privilege.
Yeah.
So yeah, not so much. I don't chase any genre really. I'll take anything really.
Give me a job. Employ me.
But no, but I think you have to be try and be picky about the work you do to a certain extent. Mm. You know, you can't be, you know, a complete stop. And
you're not doing toothpaste ads, like. No offense if you're in a toothpaste.
But you know what, man? Sometimes you have to do jobs in this industry that, you know, don't stimulate you. You know, the acting being in you. But
sometimes you just need money.
You gotta make cash, man. Yeah. Just to make a living doing what you want to do is a joy. So sometimes you have to do that stuff in order to support yourself to keep going until you get a role that you're excited by.
Absolutely. And I think
no such thing as a small role, just a small actor.
Yeah.
I don't remember who said that, but it's true. Yeah. You know, you can make a role out of anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you're present and you just bring something unique to it. You know, the guy who's playing the store clerk in a movie, you know, they can be very memorable roles.
Yeah.
If you make something from them, you know. So there's always something to explore and find the truth in any role, no matter how big or small it is. Mm. I think,
yeah, it's very profound. Well, I think on that note, I'm gonna have to start bringing in some of our segments. We had a little bit of a discrepancy about your joke beforehand. Have you got one for me?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot here.
Well, I'm not actually putting you on the spot. Yeah, you've given me beforehand.
Plenty of notice.
I have given plenty of notice.
And I just haven't. No. What is it? Is it called puns? You do.
No. It's called bring your own gag. Bring your own gag.
Okay.
So essentially, you should have come here with a gag.
Okay. I'll give you a really Irish joke.
Okay.
So Paddy and Murphy are in Dublin Airport about to go on their holidays to Marbella, and Paddy turns around to Murphy and he says, "Jesus, Murphy, I wish I had a Bromley television with me." He says, "Why is that, Paddy?" "I'm after leaving my passport and ticket on it."
Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
they, I never promised you it would be
funny. Like,
I said it was Irish.
Yeah, if you
it doesn't
back,
get much more Irish than that.
I'm telling you, the jokes, like, I don't know, it's just a... They're never good, like, do you know what I mean? Okay, why don't cannibals eat clowns?
Why don't cannibals
eat
clowns? I don't know.
Because they taste funny. Fuck you. Okay, and your life hack.
Oh, fuck.
Let me guess. You don't have one. No, come on.
Life hack.
Something. Okay, so basically, the kind of lines for this are, for anyone listening, if you could take something from your life and be like, fuck yeah, you need this
you
in
need
your
this.
Life. Like, why don't I do mine first and let you think for a sec, right?
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I was flying out to Sweden the other day and my wallet is kind of torn up and shit. So I got this new wallet and it's a... I don't know what the name of it is. It's like iClip or something. But all the cards in like that. And then you have a little cash clip there. And then it's got these shields on it so your shit can't get nicked. Well, like electronically nicked. Not like they had all that stuff like when you're on the tube... People bump into you, be like, tap, there's 30 quid. Ping, 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 ping. So they won't be doing that to me, do you know what I mean? After having my wallet stolen a couple of weeks ago, I'm just like...
No, it was stolen, was it?
Oh, man. I was working. I do that, the grocery thing.
Yes,
and I must have left my wallet just on the counter as it was leaving.
Yeah.
And then I went back in, it was gone. And then I just looked at my bank account and... Some little scroats had been pinging my card on takeaways all over Swords. Man, Rathbeal takeaway, Imperial Chinese,
so
and they had my business card as well.
So they could have done the human thing.
Could have done the human thing,
returning
but
it to you.
But even didn't. Like, right, if we were 14 or 15, and if we had done that, why are they buying takeaway? Mm. Go get yourself 6 cans of Bab.
Fuck Amazon with that shit.
Yeah. No
stuff.
Underage drinking. no, but I was proper torn up over. So I got myself a new wallet. I don't really know. If I leave this down, they can still spend my money. But
yeah. Well, it means they can't, you know, tap against you with those portable machines now.
Yeah. I'm hiding from the future. The thieves in the future. Mm-hmm. That's, you know. So, have you got one for me?
I actually don't. The best thing I can give you in my current... state of tiredness and hangover is which you already know, Revolut.
Yeah. Top.
I've never heard of this before until... Have you heard of it?
Yeah
it's fucking huge. Brilliant, man. For anyone who, like me, is living under a rock and doesn't know what Revolut is, it's an app on your phone.
Yep.
And it's basically this personal on your phone bank account.
Hmm.
And it's especially good for me at the moment being in London. You get your bank can charge you like pretty, you know, heavy fees. Yeah,
ATM
for,
charges abroad.
ATM charges for using your card in the UK. So this card, there's no charge, and you can send Irish euro into this account and change it to pounds without any commission fees.
The
so
exchange
rate
is really
the
good.
Exchange rate is, and it's very, very easy to use.
There, something happened there on Friday that it was something happened with Revolut that it was frozen for like a whole day. Something to do with. It was all over Twitter that it was like money laundering and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's probably very good to use if you're into the money laundering business.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's kind of untraceable, really.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very, very private account. There's no bank really overseeing it.
They also have this feature called the Vault. Do you use the Vault?
I don't use the Vault.
Okay, well, I'll give you another life hack on top of your life hack. So, in the Vault, basically, when you spend money, let's say you spend 15.40, your card will charge you 16 and then put...
Oh, it puts it away for
and
you.
And then puts, up to the next euro into a little savings. And you can withdraw that at any time. You know, it's just...
It's a little handy way
just
to
low-key
save
Just low-key be tapping away. Yeah. Like, when I was in Sweden there last weekend, I was kind of just tapping my card on things. I looked perfect, like, 16 euro, like... Just like I then took the 16 euro and put it back into my bank account.
Yeah, but still,
it's a cool little surprise.
Yeah, yeah. I must check that out. Actually,
yeah, do the Vault.
The Vault.
So we're gonna move on to my favorite section, which is the trivia.
Oh, great.
Okay, so 10 questions. Try and get as many as you can.
Okay.
Our high score at the minute is 5.
Mm-hmm.
The most common score.
Tom DeYoung, is it?
Tom DeYoung.
I'm coming for you, Tom. Coming for you, baby.
The most common score, as you can see, is between 2 and 3. What I might do for the future is I might get the trivia just like here, so people can see the trivia
Top
board.
Like Top Gear board thing.
Yeah. I'll just get a little podium here. Yeah. Okay, I'll do that for you guys. Okay, are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
So the first question is, which national flag is the only non-rectangular or square-shaped flag?
It's not rectangular or square-shaped. Oh, is there a time limit on this?
Ideally, I'd like to be done here by Sunday. Like,
can I have a hint?
I don't know how I'm going to give you a hint for this. Can tell you the shape of the flag.
Is it in Europe?
No. And that'll be your hint, because we can't go continent by continent.
I haven't a clue.
Shot in the dark.
Argentina.
It's Nepal. It's two triangles.
I knew it wasn't right.
Yep. So
that's a good start.
The process of making cow's milk safe for human consumption is called what?
Pasteurizing?
Yeah, pasteurization. Nice. Which type of bird has eyes bigger than its brain?
Which what?
Which type of bird
has eyes
bigger than its brain?
Bigger than its brain. No idea. Kingfisher.
Ostrich. Ostriches are notoriously known for their tiny brains.
And they're fucking aggressive.
They are aggressive.
Yeah. Because they have small brains. What's that, 1 out of 3?
1 out of 3. Okay. Yeah, that's not too bad. Okay.
Come on.
What are the first 4 digits of pi?
Oh. 3.147.
141. I'm actually. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you.
You give it to me?
Yeah, I will give it to you. Yeah, okay. 3.141. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay. How many bones are in the human body?
It's either going to be like way, way off or really close.
Yeah.
How many bones are in the human body?
An adult human body. Because you have more when you're younger and then they amalgamate together.
Yes. Yeah.
54. 206.
What?
Wow.
206? Yeah. Told you'd be way off, didn't I?
But like, if you think about how many bones are in your head.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That was really bad, though.
Well, okay.
That was terrible.
Can't win them all. Tasmania is an isolated island.
Say again?
Tasmania is an isolated island state belonging to what country?
Tasmania? Ooh. Tasmania.
Think about the Tasmanian devil.
No idea. Tasmanian. Oh, wait. Tasmanian devil. You said.
That's where. That's why Scott's name is, 'cause it's from Tasmania.
Yeah, was that a hint? Like, 'cause it's a devil.
No, not really. I just thought I'd throw it in for educational purposes.
No, I don't know.
Australia.
Really?
Yeah. What is the largest country located entirely in Europe?
Should know this.
Like, I think the entirely in Europe part of it obviously excludes a certain country that is massive.
Entirely in Europe. One country. I want to say Germany. No?
No.
What is it?
Ukraine.
I would have never said Ukraine.
Okay, other than English...
How many have I gotten to?
Pie and pasteurisation. Okay, so other than English, what other language was previously spoken in England?
It was previously spoken in England? French.
Nice.
Yeah.
French, yeah. Yeah, all the boys coming over. All the
French.
Yeah, 1066 and all that.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Who founded the marketplace Amazon?
Jeff Bezos.
To make beer, what is barley normally made into?
Barley is normally made into... What do you mean? It's made into, like...
So, like, in the brewing process, barley has to be made into something else before it can be made into beer.
Wheat, or not wheat. Barley is changed into... I can't think of it.
No.
I'm going to kick myself here.
Malt.
I did know it.
So, you still got four.
Four.
So, four puts you... Okay, so you're on par with Hugh Fiacre... Jack and
above Jenna.
Who are those two on 4.5?
Huey and Cathy.
No, Carl and Cathy, is it? Yeah.
I'm happy Carl's with that.
Four. So you're on the top end.
Yeah, that could have been a lot worse.
You can go and brag now to your friends. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Jay, it's been an absolute fucking pleasure to have you, man.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
We're gonna have to do that again.
Sorry. There we go.
That was much better.
No, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
No, it's amazing.
I'm surprised we were able to stay so on track as well.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to be on a lot of different tangents for a while.
We were also quite nice to each other as well.
We didn't do any
under the bus throwing. But it's absolutely fantastic to have you here. You know, you're only home from London for a few days, so it's great to grab you. And I wish you the best in everything going forward. So, from me and Jay here at the Inside Trail. Ba-da-ba-bum!